What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021, A Witta Wednesday. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, at Gary Witta.
Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent. How are you? You seem lost in thought this morning, Gary. You came in, you've been puttering around over there. What's going on?
I'm a very pensive individual, Greg. I'm always walking around in a cloud of my own thoughts.
Sure.
Me being miles away gave us one of our greatest ever viral moments.
I'm not saying we need to take away the moment of being miles away. I just worry about your mental health a little bit there. You know what I mean? I want to make sure you're okay. Are you okay? Can I do anything for you, Gary?
I'm all good. I know that I have this kind of resting douche face or whatever you want to call it. I see it in the time in like YouTube and in the Twitch comments. Yeah. Oh, Gary looks sulky. Gary looks bored. Gary looks like he's not engaged. And that is mostly true most of the time. I am either sulky or bored or not engaged. But oftentimes it's just how my face looks. You know, I can be interested. I can care.
I've talked about it before.
Look like I do.
Here's where, you know, Gary Wood and Greg Miller differentiate. You know what I mean? I remember when I started hosting Up at Noon, and obviously it was the first like on camera hosting thing that I did full time. And it was that thing that people started saying in interviews that when I'm listening to somebody, oh, Greg looks fucking pissed. Greg isn't happy, whatever. Yeah. And I had to train myself that when you are on camera and you listen, you smile. Otherwise, people think you're in that. Yeah. But there's the differentiator, right? I decided to be a good trained monkey. You, Gary Witta, said, no, I'm a man. And I refuse to bow and kowtow to these YouTube comments. I refuse to do it.
That's what I liked about doing animal talking is that no one could see my real face. I was a little
animal crossing character. You could be naked. Nobody knew.
Yeah, my animal crossing character was always smiling.
Exactly.
Even when I wasn't. My actual face is not as good, but you know, it's what you get what you pay
for.
No,
your face is great, Gary. You're a very good looking man. I like you quite a bit. Don't do that. All right. You've been well. Here's the thing. I think it was our post show on our last Witta Wednesday on a Tuesday where I was like, for real, like a dragon, how long are you going to play this game? Saw you tweet. You're in the end game. You're over there trying to figure out how to beat it. You're grinding.
I actually finished it last night. If you're up to date on my tweets, Greg, you know that I turned off the alerts last night.
I'm sorry. I got so many Twitter. Book of Eli's on HBO now or whatever. I'm like, I got it.
I know. Hey, yeah, that's right. Book of Eli on HBO Max. Go check it out. I was playing it last night and I decided to. I hadn't streamed most of the game, but I was enjoying the game so much that I wanted to kind of share it with my audience over there at twitch.tv/GaryWitta. And I streamed basically, I think, probably like the last fifth of the game, basically just the end game and the final the final kind of dungeon, you know, confrontation, whatever. And I thought I was going to have to grind for a lot longer. But one of the reasons that I like playing games sometimes on stream with my chat is there's often people in there who know more about the game than I do. A lot of people who already completed Like a Dragon were in the chat with me. And I was grinding around going, you know, I'm kind of scared of the final bosses. Like, I might have to grind a bit more. But I showed the chat, like, my stats. And they were like, oh, no, you, if anything, you're overleveled. You can go right now. I was planning just to grind, but my chat talked me into doing the final battle last night. And I did it. And they were right. I was overpowered for it. I won the game fairly easily. And had a fantastic time with it. I'm still going to do this. There's still like hours and hours of post game stuff to do, which I'm going to enjoy doing. I'll just take one last opportunity to say to whoever's listening, if you've not played Yakuza Like a Dragon, go get it. It's on Xbox Series X right now. The PlayStation 5 enhanced version, I believe, is coming next month. Mm. One of the best games I've ever played. Ichiban Kasuga, one of the greatest video game protagonists of all time. Just a wonderful game, and I can't wait to go back and play the other Yakuza games now. I'm a Yakuza convert.
I am blown away, and I'm excited for you, Gary, and that's great. I'm also excited to get your take on the Nintendo Direct, Rainbow Six Quarantine Confusion, and the new Xbox headset, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where you can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, and so much more under that daily video game sun. Then you can turn up live. You can watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, Kinda Funny games, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. Over the weekend on Sunday, we posted the reaction. Me and Tim Geddes watching live of the Snyder Cut for Justice League. You can go catch it, youtube.com/kindoffunny. See what we think of Darkseid, Granny Goodness, and all the rest. We live in a society. And beyond that, tomorrow, there is another FCF draft for the Fan Control Football League. Of course, we own a team called the Wild Aces. You can come draft the real live players that play in the real life game on Saturday. You can come draft with us tomorrow, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time.
I watched some of that opening game over the weekend. I watched it on it was interesting. You know, yeah. Anytime someone's trying to do something a bit different, I get it. It's a cool concept. And, yeah. And you won your first game, right? Congratulations.
We sure did. Yeah, that's right. Glacier Boys in the dirt where they belong. You know what I mean? Now it's the Beasts. Got to take this on. You know what I mean? Money Lynch, he wants to start some stuff. All he wants to do is talk. He has potty mouth, all right? He's talking potty stuff in the booth, and I won't stand for that shit, all right? Not on my watch, and we're going to make sure he knows all about it come Saturday. Saturday's game, 5 p.m. Pacific as well. We'll be streaming that at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Trent Berry, Black Jack, Louise Aguiar, a.k.a. at 8-Bit Louise, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, and then Anobiologist. Today, we're brought to you by Purple Mattress, ExpressVPN, and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got 3 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
Tiny little one. Number one, you're getting a Nintendo Direct tomorrow. Are you getting Breath of the Wild 2 news? The tweet from Nintendo reads, tune in February 17th at 2 p.m. Pacific for a Nintendo Direct live stream featuring roughly 50 minutes of information focused on available games like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and games coming to the Nintendo Switch in the first half of 2021. We click over to IGN.com where Adam Bankhurst writes, as usual, Nintendo shared the news on Twitter with no further details, but this will be the first proper Nintendo Direct since September 4th, 2019. September 4th, 2019.
I read that stat this morning. I was like, man, is that really true? I guess they've all been like mini directs and indie directs.
Yeah, they've all been Smash stuff and mini directs and partner showcases and nindies. They don't call them nindies anymore.
So this is,
Tim, what do they call them now? They don't call them nindies. What do they call them now? Indie World
Showcase.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes joining us for his Nintendo expertise. How are you, Timothy?
I am hyped out of my mind, Greg. Like you just said, it has been years since we've been able to eat. Last year, everyone listening right now, Kind of Funny Games Daily, knows I've been upset at Nintendo. Where are the games? There's nothing. There's Animal Crossing, and it's killing. Nintendo's doing well financially. Why would they put anything else out when they're doing as well as they are? I don't know. To make Tim Geddes happy, that sure might be something. You know, maybe
not a fan of Bowser's Fury, Tim?
Oh, I very much am, you know? But that would have been really nice if it came out 2 years ago when all the other ports were coming out.
Let me tell you, I love Tim, and I consider myself a Nintendo fan. Let me just say this. Nintendo fans are never fucking happy,
no,
ever.
That's so not true. That's so not true. I'm extremely happy with Bowser's Fury. I'm extremely happy with so much of the games that have been coming out. It's just at the end of the day, when we're talking about Mario's 35th anniversary was handled poorly. Can we all agree that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's that one game is only available to March, right? That's cool.
The one area where I would agree with, if this part of the point he's making, but one, if I'm going to bellyache as a Nintendo fan, and like I for me, my attitude as a Nintendo fan is defined mainly by gratitude. I don't bellyache a lot by Nintendo. I'm just glad for all the amazing shit that they give us. If there's a complaint, maybe there could be even more. Life is good, but it can be better. Yes, I get that. And I do think if there's a specific complaint, I do think that Nintendo has relied a little bit too much on the Switch generation with things like the Super Mario World, the 3D World remake, and like just kind of rehashing old titles, like rather than giving us something new. That's the only criticism I can. I feel like if you are a Nintendo fan and you have a Nintendo Switch and you're bellyaching, I don't know what to tell you because I feel like the scene is there are games.
There's a lot that I'd be able to tell you though, Gary, because here's the situation with all of this. It's like as a hardcore Nintendo fan, I won't take from anybody that I'm being too negative about this or that I'm, you know, at all being a Debbie Downer. The fact of the matter is I've been a Nintendo fan my entire life, and I understand what that means. I understand what it meant for the N64. I understood what it meant for the GameCube. It means you're going to get some extremely quality titles, but they're not, that's pretty much it. There's not going to be a lot month to month. It is going to be a couple events every year, and that's all that you're going to get. So I have an understanding of that, right? And I know I also have the PlayStation, I have the Xbox. I know that I can play games in other places, but I love Nintendo games, and I love that everything that they've given us. When the Wii came out, that changed everything even more, where there was all of a sudden a huge quantity of titles, but the quality started getting a little even more slimmer and slimmer and focused in a different way and to a different audience. Then the Wii U happened. I don't even need to tell you about that. I had to survive an entire generation of very little support, period. Support divided across the 3DS and the Wii U. And then now the Switch comes out, and it's the best thing ever. Nintendo had some of the greatest years of video game history, and I'm living so well. And then all of a sudden, it's okay, here's all the ports of games I've already on the Wii U. A lot of other people haven't, but I have, and I haven't complained once about that. I think it's fantastic. All of the Wii U games should be on the Switch. 3D World should have been on the Switch a long time ago. It's just that good of a game. People should have been playing it a long damn time ago. It's fantastic. But then we got to 2019. 2019 ends. A year filled with Fire Emblem and Luigi's Mansion 3 and just countless games, Pokemon, Sword and Shield, all that. Then we get to 2020, and all we knew going in was Animal Crossing's coming. Then Animal Crossing came, and it was what it was.
Amazing.
Since then, not only have there been very few games released, period, we have no idea of what's even coming in the future. That's why this is extremely exciting tomorrow. 50 minutes. That is one of the longest directs we've ever gotten. That is longer than most Nintendo E3 directs that they've done. So there's a lot of potential here. I love that they're saying they're focusing on 2021 things. That doesn't mean it'll be or early 2021 things. That doesn't mean exclusively. They just said they're focusing there, and they drop Smash Brothers. Greg, what's up?
Let's drop back in to IGN.com, where Adam continues. The timing of this Nintendo Direct is also important to note, as it arrives a few days before The Legend of Zelda's 35th anniversary on Sunday, February 21. Many are hoping for a similar celebration of Nintendo as Nintendo did for Super Mario Brothers' 35th anniversary in 2020. While there are still The Legend of Zelda games that have yet to be ported to Switch, including Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Ocarina of Time, many will undoubtedly be hoping for more news to the sequel, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. The last time we heard any substantial update about The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 was in September 2020, when Anuma, the producer of The Legend of Zelda series, told fans that they'd have to, quote, wait a bit longer for news on the sequel to IGN's Game of the Year in 2017. Nintendo did specifically mention that we'd be getting news about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which will have many assuming it will be about the next fighter arriving in the game following Final Fantasy VII's Sephiroth. Tim, here's where Gary and I want to let you keep going. You're having a great time out there. What are we getting tomorrow? What are you expecting? Are we getting Breath of the Wild 2 tomorrow?
I mean, I think that like the lofty things like a Metroid Prime 4 or Breath of the Wild 2 are not to be expected, but I wouldn't be absolutely surprised if we saw Breath of the Wild 2. Metroid Prime, I think the least we'd see is a Metroid Prime trilogy announcement, which is one of those things I can say every single time, and eventually it's going to be true.
Eventually it's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that the Zelda 35th anniversary is not a coincidence that it's happening this week. I think that we're going to get some announcements of, guess what, more Wii U ports that are ports of other games, being Twilight Princess and Wind Waker. There'll probably be some sort of Ocarina thing in there too. Maybe a port of the 3DS version. I don't know. The rumored Skyward Sword stuff, I can see all that. I doubt it's going to be a collection. I think they'll all be separate releases. Nintendo likes to make money, and
of course
they can do that with this. But I wouldn't be shocked if they were like, and also a little tease of Breath of the Wild 2, even if it's just info will be revealed later this year or some type of teaser trailer or something.
Sure.
Wouldn't be surprised. There's just a nice little end cap. Another anniversary coming up is Pokemon. Their 25th anniversary is next week. So I wouldn't be surprised if this Direct has some type of tease for a Pokemon Direct next week to like fully announce some new games there.
Okay.
But to make you happy, Greg, I do feel really good about a Mario Golf.
God, don't do it. Aaron Bass 89 in the chat says I could go for a Mario Golf. If we get fucking Mario Golf tomorrow, if Mario Golf is this fucking year, let's go, baby. I will go crazy.
Yeah, I think Mario Golf I think a Mario sports game is a pretty good bet, and I think Mario Golf is the most obvious answer. Knowing we're getting something for Smash, I think it obviously will be a character reveal. If I had to bet, I would say Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
Okay.
Monster Hunter Rise, we'll hear about that update on where it's at, what's up with
it. Gary, are you expecting tomorrow more details on the next Animal Crossing update, which of course teased Mario items? We saw the mushroom, we saw the star, I think it was, at the end of the last trailer when they introduced the carnival stuff, which is now happening or happened in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they did say in the direct that they would be focusing on updates to existing games like Smash Bros. And Animal Crossing obviously would fit that criteria as well. Nintendo's done a pretty good job with these monthly updates. They do these little mini Animal Crossing updates every month that tell you what's going to be coming up. I hate to disagree with Tim on this because I feel like, you know, as Nintendo fans, Tim and I agree on many more things than we disagree on. But I don't quite get where he's coming from in terms of feeling like Nintendo fans are like starving for games right now. Yes, Animal Crossing was the game of 2020. And like, you have to remember, like, I don't think Tim's an Animal Crossing fan, so maybe he doesn't appreciate like just how much it did for people during the year of the pandemic. That game saved people's fucking sanity during the pandemic. It's such an important game. It's a massive, massive success for Nintendo. My entire family still loves it. It's still hugely, hugely popular. That game is a fucking miracle. It was a blessing. It came at just the right time. And to put that game out in 2020 and then have people complain about, well, that's all you did. It's like kind of like saying, well, in 2020, I cured cancer. And people say, yeah, but what have you done since then? It's like, come on. Animal Crossing was an amazing fucking... Animal Crossing was an amazing fucking game. And you didn't even mention, Tim, they did put out Paper Mario Origami King, which is a banger.
I didn't mention that game. I said they mentioned it wasn't a banger. It was pretty
absolute
good.
Banger.
No,
Age of
it
Calamity,
was not.
Which is, if you're into Breath of the Wild, from a lore mythology standpoint, that game's going to scratch your itch all day long. I know it's not Breath
of
the Wild, too,
no, it's not.
But
it's
that's
going
also
to scratch
coming.
Some issue. It's going to scratch the itch of Musou fans to an extent. It's going to scratch the itch of Breath of the Wild lore fans to an extent. But that's what YouTube videos are for a lot of people that don't want to spend 50 hours playing that type of game. I'm not trying to deny the quality of the games they came out with, but compare that to any other year of the Nintendo Switch.
I think that's fine. I think from a overall macro perspective, here's why I feel like Nintendo gamers are in a better situation with the Switch than they have been with really any generation, probably since the Super Nintendo. Is the Switch the issue with like, oh, well, Nintendo doesn't put out that many games, is nothing new. That's always been the case. Every single Nintendo hardware generation has been defined by this idea of, well, you kind of get it because for the five or six, you know, banger Nintendo first party games, the Marios and the Zeldas and maybe the Metroids that they're going to, Smash Bros, they're going to put out every year. But that's really all you get it for, is because the third parties don't support it. But now the Switch is so phenomenally successful that third parties do support it in a real way. You're getting massive third party games like Witcher and Control, which actually run really well on the Switch. So the Switch is now much more of a, go on the eShop, my goodness, there's just so much stuff. It's not all, you know, AAA stuff, but that's true on any console. I just kind of feel like and maybe it's right to do so because they are, I think, an amazing company. Maybe we do hold Nintendo to a higher standard. And I think this happens every Nintendo Direct. We get so excited about, oh my God, we build these wish lists in our head. There's going to be another Metroid. There's going to be another Golf or Strikers. And then when we don't get everything that we wanted, we complain because we feel like Nintendo's let us down. But like, they're not promising anything. We're building up all this expectation in our own heads. I do think there's a good chance of like a big megaton type announcement tomorrow. My personal wish list is, I love the idea of Golf, but you know what I really want is Super Mario Strikers.
Me too.
Golf. Give me
that's
my Golf game.
Agree more than anything, Gary.
Maybe we can have both.
Well, that was what I raised my hand about, is maybe you're both right. You know what I mean? Like it's you know, you're trying to satisfy a wide swatch of audience. And I think, you know, if we want to step back objectively, I guess would be the thing, right, Tim? And be like, okay, cool. With number of games and quality of games that came out or whatever, that's where you'd have this argument. But Animal Crossing, if you connected with Animal Crossing, as so many people did, I think, was this fucking juggernaut for last year. But if
but
you don't give a shit about...
That's the thing. It's like I started my whole argument with that. Like, that is a no-brainer. Of course, Animal Crossing is what it is. It's like when you look at everything else, though, from that the year of releases from Nintendo, it's just like And not only just new releases, year of announcements.
Part of the issue, and I think it's interesting, is that we as gamers are kind of a victim of Nintendo's own success. Like, it's been a really, really long time since we've had a new Mario Kart, right? We haven't had a new true Mario Kart in the Switch generation. We got the upgrade, the deluxe one. But like, the Switch is a pretty mature platform. It's been around for, 4 years now? We don't have a new Mario Kart yet. Part of the reason why I think we don't have one is because the last one is never been out of the top 10. Like, it's still selling so many new ones. Why make, of the old ones, why make a new one? So it's you know, the games just are so phenomenally popular. Nintendo put out, I don't know if you saw it, one of the ads that Nintendo put out over Christmas, Mario Kart was the featured game. Oh, yeah? How many other companies do you know that could do a Christmas ad for their console where it's being led by a four-year-old game? It's a phenomenon. And I think partly for that reason, we don't see Nintendo iterate on these franchises as often as we would like, because they remain popular for so long.
Tim, before we let you go, Lucid Dream writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, do you think we see new hardware during tomorrow's Direct? Of course, Switch Pro has been on the tip of people's tongues for a long time. Everybody was predicting it was going to happen this year, except me on the Gamescast. And lo and behold, Nintendo said, don't expect any new hardware anytime soon, like last month. But we've been lied to on that way before. And they could be like, well, a month later isn't that soon, is it?
I want to be extremely clear. I have absolutely no expectations for tomorrow. I like, Nintendo has proven to me one thing in the last couple of years, and that I can't predict anything that they're going to do, good or bad. So it's like, this Direct's happening. It's 50 minutes. It could literally be 45 minutes of way too in-depth Super Smash Brothers stuff, and then 5 minutes of, oh yeah, this is Zelda anniversary, happy birthday, and then that's the end of it, you know?
Can I ask you a question? Because I do bow to your superior Nintendo knowledge. I think you ultimately know more about this stuff than I do. So let me ask you this. I know that there's been this thing that's happened over the last year or so where people have complained about these little mini directs. Oh, they're not. Where's the big news? But that's because they have been these mini directs. Like the main line, like the direct primes, whatever you want to call them, the big ones, like the one we're getting tomorrow. Has there ever been one of those that didn't have like a big, oh my God, announcement? Like, is there reason to believe historically that we'll get something big tomorrow?
No, it's very unpredictable. I mean, when the directs first started in the Wii U era, it was, you expected that they were going to be bad. And then eventually there was a couple banger ones, and there was a transitional point around the Switch where every single one had some crazy announcement, like Smash Brothers Ultimate that we didn't see coming 2018, like all that type of stuff, or Breath of the Wild 2 with the E3 one. Like, it kept going, and there was like always constant hype, and anytime they announced a Direct, or even if they didn't announce the Direct, there was hype leading into it, building into it all. A lot of Nintendo fans have just kind of given up on Nintendo doing Directs. I am most surprised and happy that this is actually a proper Direct we're getting tomorrow, because whatever it is we see tomorrow is hopefully, to me, a reboot, refresh point, restart point for Nintendo to prove to me that they're not just going to sit on their old games forever and give us something new, give us something, some forms of fresh content, even if it is for old games. Give me new DLC for Mario Kart 8, if Mario Kart 8 is going to be your flagship.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tim. It's been even some DLC, just refresh the existing game. Since it's still so popular, at least support that. Look at the support that Animal Crossing gets. Mario Kart doesn't get that kind of support.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Mario Kart didn't get a single DLC. Mario Kart 8 didn't get a single DLC pack at all on the Switch. That's insane.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because what you got with the Deluxe was basically the DLC that the Wii U got, right?
Yeah.
Tim, let me ask you this. I know there's always, this is the big thing. I mean, and we'll all be up at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever tomorrow. Like, we'll
2 p.m., Gary. Get out of bed early. 2 p.m.
they've done some of these really, really early. And if it was 6 a.m., I would get up, because I'm that person. I need to know, and I need to know now. But I do want to ask Tim again this. So I know, again, with the directs, there's always this kind of incongruity between what we wish they're going to do. Like, we talked about this earlier, like they disappoint us because we get like ahead of ourselves and we're so excited about what we think they're going to do, and then they don't do it. But I'm trying to figure out, like, if there's what we're wishing for and what is likely to happen, like, where do those two lines intersect? Tim, what do you think is like the best thing that could happen that is actually somewhat likely to happen and not just pie in the sky?
I mean, the my real answer to that is just some announcements for games coming this year, because we don't have that right now. And we didn't have it last year when we were leading into Animal Crossing. It was just Animal Crossing with a date. And then eventually there were like little things here and there. And I feel like when it comes to this year, the only games coming out for the Switch, really, that we know are coming at some point are Metroid Prime 4, Breath of the Wild 2, Bayonetta 3. And there's a trend of everything I'm talking about here, which is like, when are those coming? Anytime soon? That's not a guarantee at all. So I want to know, they're talking about 2021, early 2021, because right now we got Bowser's Fury coming out, or just came out. We don't know what's happening after that. So I'm just hoping we get, I think that we can expect to get some titles in the next couple months. What those will be, I don't know.
It's so weird because like the Breath of the Wild 2 thing really illustrates you just never know how Nintendo's going to do this. We talked about how Nintendo waits really, really long times between like new iterations on franchises because the games just have such a long tail sales-wise. You know, Mario Kart, still a huge seller. I don't think it's ever really been out of the top 10. Breath of the Wild, still a huge seller. Go look at like last week's top 10. Like it's still a top seller even after all these years. So that's another one where you think like, oh, Nintendo's just going to sit on that for a while. But Breath of the Wild 2 was announced like almost immediately afterwards, like in terms of the Nintendo kind of geological timeline where we're used to waiting such a long time between like mainline Mario and Nintendo releases. Breath of the Wild 2 came really, really fast. So you just never really know what to expect.
Yeah, totally. I do want to give a shout out to a Fire Emblem remake. I think there's a good chance we get one of those tomorrow.
All right. Do you think we'll see the next mainline Odyssey game? It might not be Odyssey, but like I want an Odyssey 2, for example, or like another not just 3D World remake or Paper Mario. Like we want like the next big Mario. But I kind of feel like that's still years away.
I mean, we haven't gotten a new 2D Mario in almost a decade.
Hmm. I wouldn't mind that either, actually.
You don't count your Mario 35th or whatever the thing was? Your little Battle Royale Mario? No,
no. Those are the crumbs that they toss us. This is where I do agree with Tim. Those are the crumbs that they toss us. Because the thing is, I think Nintendo, they know. They know that we will gobble up everything they give us. And so
the
they don't
mold
need to...
that they toss us.
They don't, yeah, just we're just happy for like table scraps. And some of the stuff that they've been giving us, like the Pikmin remaster and Bowser's Fury, again, they're really good.
Don't
but,
forget
like,
about your Pokemon
table
Snap.
Scraps.
Pokemon Snap coming up.
Listen, you are right, ask my 8-year-old daughter, who's the real market for that game, how excited she is about it.
All right, Joey Noel is
personally
offended.
She's not complaining. She's thrilled. She is thrilled.
Well, we don't have to wait long, ladies and gentlemen. Nintendo Direct, 50 minutes of content, including Super Smash Brothers and more, including the first half of 2021, happening tomorrow. That is Wednesday the 17th, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Tim, I assume we are reacting to it here. Absolutely. On twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We will be there to see what goes down, what happens, and then if Tim will blow his hype or not. What for you, Tim, what is the most hype thing that could happen tomorrow?
I mean, my most hype ever is Crash and Smash, but I don't expect that. I'm not looking for that. I just want to see Nintendo announce some games that I'm interested in. That's it. That's all that I'm asking for. And that could be so many things. There's at least 20 games that they could announce that I'd be like, cool, thumbs up.
Okay. Mario Golf. That's what's got to be.
Strikers.
No, Strikers had its chance. It's
Strikers.
Over. Strikers. I don't know if you know this. Forward. In terms of world sporting events, soccer, not that popular. Golf, incredibly popular. That's just stats.
That sounds right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anybody got a hole in a ball in a club? In some different kinds of grass,
you've
can
already
play golf.
Got your fucking Hot Shots golf over on PlayStation.
Hey, dude, everybody's golf is great. Don't worry about it. I kicked the shit out of Andy and Blessing and Barrett the other week. It was fantastic last week. I don't know if Raj put in the update video. You know, Raj doesn't like me anymore. Doesn't put me in any of the recap videos that are available on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. But I digress. Tim, thank you so much for your time.
Love you guys. Bye.
See you, Tim.
Andy in the chat says, no, you fucking didn't, in all caps. Yeah, I didn't. I put up a screen cap. Remember where I was number one and you lost to me. So that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning, Andy. Surprised you didn't know that. Happy birthday, by the way. Number two on the Roper Report, Rainbow Six Paradise isn't Rainbow Six Quarantine. This is Ian Harris over at PC Games N. Kevin, I gave you a little thing to show here, if possible. It's an image. It turns out that Rainbow Six Quarantine's new name isn't Parasite after all. Ubisoft explains that while the name is being used for internal playtesting, it's merely a placeholder, and an official name will be revealed soon. Tongues were sent wagging the other day when a number of key art images with the Rainbow Six Parasite logo were dug up on the PlayStation Network. Thanks, MP First. The main image that has been circulating shows a previously confirmed character called Ella stuck in some black goop against a vibrant yellow background with the name Rainbow Six Paradise, Parasite on display. We reached out to Ubisoft and got the following statement. While we recently shared that we will be changing the name of Rainbow Six Quarantine, Parasite is only a placeholder that that our internal teams use. Recently, we ran an internal test for the game, and some of its details became public. We can confirm this is a glimpse of the upcoming game, and we will share more details, including the official name, soon, end quote. Of course, Gary, Ubisoft and Rainbow Six Quarantine put into an unenviable situation as they announced the game Rainbow Six Quarantine, and then the world was forced into quarantine from coming up on a year as we deal with COVID.
Yeah, that does happen. There was a company called ISIS. They had to change their name, poor bastards. You know, Sometimes these things, they happen.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not your fault. You just got to roll with it.
Yeah, Andy used to have his little nickname used to be I'm really good at everybody's golf, but then after I beat him in it, he had to change it to Nitro Rifle, and it's pretty embarrassing and sad. Happy birthday. My thought is I wouldn't be surprised if this is the name that sticks, Gary. I think it got out early, it didn't get out the way they wanted, but at this point, I mean, you already got your little graphic made there. It seems like you're pretty confident.
I might get back into Rainbow Six on this next one. I was a big fan of the original Rainbow Six back in the late 90s, played the hell out of it. And then I think the last one that I really, really dug was Vegas. Vegas was great. And I kind of fell off the franchise.
Wait, the 360 ones?
Yeah, it was on the 360. I loved it. The story on that, the story campaign was really, really good. And I kind of fell off after that. But I know Siege has gone on, I think, probably to be, I think Siege, I think I'm right in saying, I'm just guessing, but I feel like it's by far the biggest Rainbow Six game. Siege is
I have to imagine. Yeah, of course.
Popular. So I'm glad to see the Rainbow Six games continuing to do extremely well. They're great.
Here's my thing, though. Are you like Rainbow Six Quarantine / Parasite / whatever it ends up being? Is that the kind of game you'd be into? Like Epic Games describes it. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Quarantine is a 3-player tactical co-op shooter set several years in the future of the Rainbow Six universe, where obviously you're dealing with these, you know, monsters and parasites and quarantine. Is that the kind of jam you're looking for? Is that, I guess to dial this question back a bit, you haven't been into a Rainbow Six in a while. What defines a Rainbow Six to you, and why would you be interested in jumping back in this one?
I think what has always, again, I can only speak for myself, but what has always defined, the Rainbow Six games for me is, and this might sound a bit silly, but they are at least they used to be. I think it's kind of drifted away from that a little bit. Like Vegas, it got a bit more goofy, but they've always been like somewhat grounded in contemporary reality. They've always had those kind of Tom Clancy values of it's contemporary, you know, it's modern. There's some kind of modern heightened political context. Emphasis on kind of weapons and technology and tactics and all the kind of stuff. I used to devour the Tom Clancy books. I used to love reading them. And for that reason, I really enjoyed the Rainbow Six games because I kind of got off on that, you know, macho bullshit stuff. I do worry a little bit about what you just, the 3-player stuff sounds great. In terms of the context, the narrative context, I worry a little bit about them straying too far into the future, into some of that infinite warfare stuff. You know, remember when Call of Duty did that? It got a bit silly, and Advanced and Infinite went into space, and it got a bit goofy, and Activision had to kind of like literally bring it back down to earth because players thought they had gone off the rails a little bit. So I don't know. It sounds like they're, and it also sounds like they're, like Ubisoft already have a game like this. It's called The Division. Like you want to make sure that they're not stepping on each other's toes here, don't you?
You have more monsters here and stuff, but yeah, you're definitely gonna have.
Monsters. That's not Tom Clancy's fucking rolling in his grave right now. Monsters.
I'm sure he's not. He's happy with the money. You know what I mean? He's all about that. Now, Gary, where are you at with The Division 2? You said you were going to come play it on PlayStation with us. You said you're going to have a great time with these PS5 enhancements. I'm out there. Kevin and I playing last night. I'm getting Kevin through the expansion content. I don't see you anywhere. Where you at?
Take it up with Ichiban Kasuga.
Gary, that's probably your best response of all time. You know what I mean? I just want to toss that out there. That was, I understand. I didn't even think about the fact you're obsessed over there. That's good.
This is honestly the tricky problem that I have now, Greg, is I loved Like a Dragon so much that I now want to jump into all the other Yakuza games.
Isn't it the way?
But even if you had like the most delicious cheeseburger of your life, you don't want to just eat cheeseburgers for the rest of your life. Should I like go play Hitman or Division or like something else and then come, like maybe I should like stagger them or something, but I don't know. I kind of just want to play more Yakuza games.
Fair. And I can't stop you. I appreciate that. Kevin, are you getting back in the Division night with me? What are we doing? Are you playing some Avengers? What are we doing?
Didn't you say you were going to play, Avengers. Avengers? No, I'm playing Fortnite. No, actually, I guess I can't play Fortnite because Joey's watching The Bachelor, so.
Let's do some Division tonight, buddy. Come on, let's keep working.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know why. I don't see why not. There's nothing better.
All right.
What is going on with Avengers, Greg? I watched a few minutes of that War Table thing. I didn't really understand what's going on because I'm not keeping up with it. But like, I keep hearing dead game. But like, it seems like they're really determined to keep supporting it. What is going on?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames pretty much right now. I think Andy finished the thumbnail. And you can watch our reaction to the 9-minute presentation that happened. I'll insert it right here as a number 3 for you, Gary. Avengers had a War Table today, and they revealed that the Hawkeye DLC, that is the Future Imperfect storyline stuff, and the Hawkeye character himself, and the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S versions are coming March 18th. Gary, you asked a big question, and me, Tamora Hussein from GameSpot, Simon Carty from IGN, and Fran from twitch.tv/fm3_ have a long discussion about what's going on with Avengers, a game that we love despite all of its flaws, and mainly the fact that there's just not in-game content. There's just nothing you can. They keep dropping these story things. They dropped Kate Bishop in December. Now they're dropping Hawkeye in March. These, you know, new storylines, new things going on, new characters in there. That's all well and good, but it doesn't have the hook to have you coming back every day right now. And that's the problem with the game. It's not a dead game, I don't think, in the way of an Anthem or definitely not an Anthem, but like even it's got its own unique set of problems. You know, you want to sit here and compare it to Fallout, you want to compare it to Anthem, you want to compare it to whatever, a No Man's Sky. You're running into different problems and things for it. It's not a dead game. There is a great game in it, but it's surrounded by mediocrity. And so we were talking about it today on the stream of like, it's fun to get in there and do it. I want to play. I watched Thor last night. I want to go play Avengers tonight. But what's the point of grinding my character to max level when there's nothing for me to do at max level?
Do you think it could be resuscitated? Because when these games get into the doldrums like this, it can be really hard to get them out.
Yeah, what I've talked about before in my prediction on Gamescast this year was that I think by the end of the year, in December, Imran Khan will look at Avengers and go, pretty good game. It's a good game. I think that's what you're getting to. Now, is that enough to revive it? Is that enough for Square Enix to commit to 3 more years of it? Is it No, I can't. Those tea leaves are so hard to read. You know, I don't think they're moving, I assume, as fast as they can. They're trying to do a bunch of different stuff. But today's presentation by no means was the one where you go, it's fixed. Everything you didn't like about Avengers is gone or whatever. Because it seems like the most thing people don't like about it is just there's not much to do in it, which I guess is a good problem in the sense of problems to have with the you don't want any problems with your live service game, but, you know, I can go on.
There's nothing to do in this game. Doesn't sound like a good problem to me.
I'm talking about in terms of problems you could have. It's not that, oh, I'm falling through the world every time. Oh, my saves are getting eaten. Oh, my God. Like, this, it doesn't run. It's at 5 frames per second. Like, that kind of stuff.
Oh, no. I feel like fixing a save bug is easier to do than, like, coming up with shit to do in a game.
Well, you can say that, but look at all the games that drag their fucking feet to fix their save bugs. Yeah, we'll see what's going to happen with Avengers. I do enjoy playing it. I wish I had a reason to play it. I wish I had more reasons to jump in there and play it every night. I wish there was something pushing me to do it. But you look at something like The Division that has all this content, all these things to do, all these different, you know, carrots. When you turn in The Division and there's a new carrot at the end of the stick for you to chase. You know what I mean? Even when you feel like you're winding down on something, you know, I'm going to finish up these manhunts and then I want to go do more of the high rise. When I'm tired of that, I want to get a raid group together. All right, now I'm going to help Kevin and Snowbike Mike get further into the game to help me do my thing. Then there's daily challenges and all this stuff. Whereas if you turn on Avengers, right, it's like, do you want to run the same villain sector again? Do you want to grind this character to 150 for no reason? Do you want to try to work on the challenge cards? Like, there's stuff to do there, but then there's also the fact that how many times with live service games have we been burned before? And not by necessarily the developers, more of the publishers. Like, what does Square Enix think of this? What do they think? What does Marvel Games think of all the lukewarm reception to this game? And the fact we're talking about this Hawkeye content coming March 18th, when that was supposed to be here in November with the original plan. In November with the original plan. Like, there's a lot of questions for Marvel's Avengers.
It's the big problem with these live games, Greg, is that, you know, that rely on this end game content is that the developers are constantly racing to stay ahead of the player base, and you just can't do it. It's faster to play content than it is to make it. Like, you can spend a year making like a big DLC expansion, and the hardcore players will burn through it in a fucking day and go, okay, what else you got? Like, yeah. It feels almost kind of demoralizing. And the only way to stay ahead of them is essentially to make the content repetitive. Which is they just keep grinding these bosses for gear, and that's why we end up with this what I think is kind of a sad state of affairs with high end game design right now, where a lot of these AAA games like Division and Destiny and Anthem had this problem, and all of these games now, it's like once you get to the end, just keep fucking running around in circles, and the numbers are going to get higher, and you know the fucking yep. armored trousers that you're wearing are going to have better stats, but you're basically doing the same shit you were a year ago. And some people like that; they love that. There is some psychological evidence that kind of repetitive, you know, shit is pleasing to people, and they like it. You know, if I press the button, I'll get a pellet. If I press the button, I'll get a pellet. Some people like that. A lot of people find it boring.
Well, see the. And you're right. And that's totally games of service and what you want to do or not do with it. The argument or whatever, where I think you, when you want to compare a Destiny to an Avengers, is the fact that with Destiny, you know, you're grinding for your power level to run this hard, this really hard piece of content, or to get raid ready for the next thing that's dropping, or yada, yada, yada. With Avengers now, right? This game released in September. And we still don't have something that is level 150 content. That is the raid. That is, hey, you can only do this if you're max level. And it's like really rewarding. I think actually as I speak that, like, what, the Ultra Hives is really high. But it's like, what are you getting out of it? Here's exotic gear. What the fuck do I care about exotic gear? Nothing's challenging me in this game to that level. I'm not being punished that way. And not to mention, that's not why I play those games. I want the story content. I want new villains. And I think, yeah, to run the same villain sectors that have been there since September, you get two a day, and it's always Taskmaster and Abomination or the big machines you have to fight. It's like, what is going on? Like, there's so many different things with Avengers. And I was saying that on the thing today.
I raided Fran last night, and Fran was playing some Avengers. But you know, Fran's a big Destiny guy. I'd like to talk to Fran's probably the guy that in my like circle of friends, Fran's sure. the person who like plays Destiny that knows the most about it. I'd like to pick his brains on like what he thinks Destiny's doing right, because if you remember, Destiny 1, especially Destiny 1, but then Destiny 2 out of the gate, they both had these issues where like, you know, you run out of content, where's the end game? And it took a while for Bungie to catch up. But it seems like now, of all these live service games that rely on constant DLC drops, constant expansions, constantly growing the game and adding new things to do, Destiny seems to have found a place where it's actually kind of worked. Like, they basically see, again, maybe I'm wrong, tell me if I am wrong, but it seems like they have now finally settled into a place where they are keeping their players happy with new content, which is not easy to do. Like, most of these other games fail at that.
The biggest thing about it, and this is arguable, I guess, in some ways, but not. The biggest thing about what you're talking about here is that Destiny does fuck up. We do things all the time of this is happening. Last week we did one that we just threw on there on Friday with Mike that was the Cosmodrome isn't as big as it's supposed to be or something, which is all Greek to me, but you know, we talk about it. The thing that Destiny does so well is talk to its audience. Avengers doesn't fucking talk to its audience, and it drives me crazy, because I think I said it today in the reaction video of like, they should just have a come to Jesus blog of like, listen, we understand things are late. This is why it's COVID. It's this. We launched the game and you weren't happy with the core issue. So we had to stop working on other stuff to fix that. Now we're back in line. Clint's going to be great when he drops in March. And then here's a roadmap of what's happening. Like, think about it, Gary. Like, I as an Avengers fan and somebody who plays the game and again, loves it for what it is, but agrees it is mediocre. Like, people who pop up in the chat are like, oh man, yeah, Spider-Man soon, right? I'm like, you are not getting Spider-Man soon. I don't think you're getting Spider-Man this year. If you do, it'll be a December drop, but I do not think you're, and Spider-Man's supposed to be spring of this year, right? Like, they need to talk about that. The longer you don't talk about these things, the more they fester and the more the community gets angry and the more you lose it. When you come out and say what's really happening, the people who care are going to be fine with it. Like, you talk about Fran, we joke around all the time. You know, Fran got into the cloning labs, which is the high level content that they promised literally months ago now. A production server went on live for like 10 minutes and Fran was able to get into the mission while he was streaming and play some of it. And then no word on what the fuck's going on with that. And occasionally the devs do streams. It gets compiled on Reddit. People say little things here and there. Like, there's a community looking for it, but just put a post up. Have a person behind it whether it is Megan Marie, who's community manager over there, whether it is Scott Amos, who's, you know, I forget his actual title, but he's like lead on the project. Like, somebody needs to talk and say what the fuck's going on. Because clearly, if I'm playing in March content I was supposed to get in November, like, things have gone really awry. Okay, cool. Why? What's happening? You know? And it's also the thing of like, to everybody, game is dead. I don't think Avengers is dead, but I will not be surprised if tomorrow, March 18th, they put this out and then a month later Square was like, we are no longer supporting Avengers. And that sucks. I'd love to hear somebody say that's not going to happen.
I agree with you that developers do need to communicate better, especially when they find themselves behind the curve in the way that Avengers seems to right now, where people are like, where's the content? Having that communication, and I guess these war tables are meant to be part of that, is part of the solution. But it's not the solution. It's like a band-aid, right? And I feel like this is almost like, now to me, is like, it's almost kind of a, it's kind of a worrying sign when I see, I remember watching this like as Anthem on it, you know, on its kind of slow and steady march to the grave. Whether or not it'll be resurrected, I guess, who knows? But for right now, what I remember, I used to watch like Yong Ye's videos, and you know, there are YouTube bloggers out there that kind of track this stuff, these kind of games that are fucking up. And I remember like Anthem was one that did it. CG Product Red is doing it right now. And we've seen all kinds of companies do it. Fallout did a ton of it, where they do these very, very artfully crafted blog posts where they always sound kind of contrite and responsive, but they never actually apologize because they don't want to. They don't want to. That's the, they're trying to set the right tone, but like keeping in explaining very, very in very, very artful detail why you are not giving gamers the content they want is not the solution, right? Like what I mean, it's nice to have, but I don't want the blog posts. I just want the content.
Yeah, I hear you. But here's the thing, is that you're talking about two different things. There's a group of people who are like, oh, man, I'll play Avengers when there's a bunch more stuff. And then there's people who are watching the war tables and on the subreddit and yada, yada. You talk to that hardcore base so they feel empowered to evangelize and spread the word and do whatever. And then everybody else who wants to wait for it to be the big, hey, you know, it's, you can, if they turn it around, you can see it, right? You can see the Kotaku article. You can see the Forbes article from Paul of like, if you're not paying attention, Avengers is good now. Like, look at all they, right. They've added four different villains. There's new sectors. They've got all these different heroes. It's all free unless you want, like, there, you can, I can pre-write the article and you can go in and fill in the details. Not that I'm saying those people are like hacks or something, but because that is what happens with these games, that when they go off the grid and they're no longer like, you remember how Avengers was talk of the town when it released, when they go subterranean and it is just the people who do want to grind on it, who do want to be on the subreddit, who do want to watch the war table. Like people are, I'm always surprised, you know, cause obviously I joke around about it and I get a lot of shit from both people are kind of funny. And then random YouTube commenters, I'm always surprised when we do the live react stream. And even right now, looking at the chat, the amount of people in it who are like, no, Avengers is fun. It's just, what the hell am I supposed to do? And are like, you know, the little qualms is the gameplay of Avengers, I think, is fun and is enjoyable. And I like being the heroes. It's just that I want new things to do with them rather than grind the same old missions and the same old villain sectors and chase the same old Polycoron.
It's tough because I don't know if, you know, there's no way that the Avengers game's making money right now. It's got to be bleeding money.
Also very true.
And the bean counters at Square Enix are ultimately going to make the decision on this game's future. And I think Marvel will probably have some kind of a say as well.
100%.
You know, this reflects poorly on them. You know, if a major, you know, if an Avengers movie came out and it was shit, that would be a disaster for Marvel. And an Avengers game coming out and it not doing well is maybe not as bad, but it still ain't a great look.
So dude, but I mean, still think about it. Like, I mean, think about how this was, in so many ways, a golden opportunity for this game. Last year, no Marvel movie. Everybody's at home. Everybody's playing games more than ever. You get it out in September, and it's not fully baked. You know what I mean? Like, the things aren't there. There were glitches. There were problems. You get over the little stuff of ping systems or whatever, and then you just can't get content to this game that's supposed to be a games as a service, right? And, like, it is hard to deliver on that, but we can think back to The Division 2 that did launch and did have a roadmap and did hit it for the most part. I think there was a few things that slipped, like maybe a couple weeks, but delivered on what they were doing. Like, Avengers had a whole lot of talk for what was going to happen after launch, and they did not deliver on it. And so we keep waiting to see if they can actually get it together.
I wish I could be more optimistic about it. I just feel like I've seen this narrative. You know, these kind of redemption narratives are rare. We all like to talk about No Man's Sky, and Anthem's trying for that right now, but it's rare. You can count on the fingers of one hand the time that that's happened, compared to how many times have games just failed.
Totally.
Countless times.
No. And so the chips are... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, at some point, someone at Square is going to have to make that decision because there's a lot of money being wasted here. Can we, if we put enough money into this, can we get it back to a place where people are writing this kind of stories? Hey, guess what? Yep. Anthem's good now and the players do come back. Or are we just throwing good money after bad? At what point do you cut your losses and walk away from the blackjack table?
If I was a betting man, I would not bet. I mean, just on everything that's happened, I would not bet on Avengers to ever be able to come back and do it. As a fan of Avengers, I hope it can. I'll be, you know, I'm going to play Hawkeye as soon as they release it. I'm going to play it on PS5. If I have to replatinum it the hard way, I will. Like, there's two different things happening here. And what you point to, I think, is the biggest thing about it, too, of like, it's not what does Crystal Dynamics think of this. It's what does Square think of this? What does your parent company think of this in this game that underdelivered and underperformed and how much they want to toss at it? You look at Destiny 2, obviously it was under Activision, but they got out from underneath that, right? And they're able to
look at
their
how quickly
course.
Battlefront 2 killed all those microtransactions once Disney got involved and said, cut that shit out, right?
Here's
and
what I want to give you. I want to give you one.
I just want to make one final point about why I think why I'm not optimistic about Avengers. And you know me, I try to be optimistic. I try to look at the bright side of things. I think it's harder to win players back than it is to win players in the first place. Once you feel burned, let's say I played Avengers and I kind of, oh man, that game was kind of, I didn't enjoy it. Like, it just wasn't what I wanted it to be. To come back to me and go, oh, but no, it's good now. Do you want to come back and try something? I said, I'd rather try something new than like revisit something that I thought kind of sucked the first time around. So they've got a mountain to climb. I would love to see him get to that point, but it's going to be a tough road for them.
You are 100% correct. I mean, they wasted a golden opportunity. I mean, like, remember, like, review scores were good for Avengers. Like, right? Game Informer gave it an 88. Like, people, and they're, you know, then you get into the sevens here. I'm scrolling through the Metacritic looking for like IGN. I forget what IGN gave it. Easy Allies gave it a 70, which is fair. But it wasn't a game that was panned. It wasn't a game that was bad. It wasn't this. It was just a game that, hey, delivered on the biggest IP going and did not do it justice. Real quick, I want to get Boars and 000 in here, who writes into Patreon.com/, he wrote into you're wrong. Okay, a ton of Destiny 2 information. Outside of the expansions, is that they now release story content year-round versus once or twice a year. Content is now drip-fed over the course of a 90-day season, with 4 a year, being pinnacled by an expansion kicking off the new year. The streamer/hardcore run out of content in a few hours a week and hate that. They want more content, and that is creating an echo chamber of negative feedback, hence why they are not adding to the because people wanted more content. The people in my clan, however, a casual hardcore, averages about 15 hours a week, are relatively happy with this new content schedule mostly. And then he says, source, that I run the kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan. So there you go. Gary, your final news story of the day. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, whatever, you know, it's a hard comparison to make, because Destiny's a very established brand with a with a major, very well-funded, massive development team and a very talented development team behind it. I feel like the Bungie people probably understand at this point. This open world genre, where you're, like I said, you're constantly racing to kind of stay ahead of the player base and keep delivering endgame content and keeping it fresh, but without it getting repetitive. This is a really, 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 really hard area of game design. It's become really, really popular, but there's also an extremely high failure rate. Destiny, the Bungie team, are probably closer to understanding how to make that particular style of gameplay work than anyone else. And so I think other developers are probably looking to them. But like, Destiny's really the only one that I can think of that is in any, like, you could call it like an unqualified success. Like, for every Destiny, there is an Anthem or an Avengers, or, you know, you could argue the Division has struggled. It's really hard to make these kind of games, high risk, high reward. And right now we're seeing a lot more risk than reward in this particular space, I think.
Gary, the only thing in life that you can't take a risk, the only thing in life that isn't a risk is patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, you can go there to write in to be part of the show. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. But more importantly, for right now, you can go there and get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Purple Mattress. Throw some bedding on a bunch of different mattresses and sure, they all look alike. The same goes for pillows. But peel away the layers, look at what's inside, and you'll see they aren't all created equal. That's what makes every Purple pillow and mattress unlike anything you've ever slept on before. The Purple Grid sets the Purple mattress apart from every other mattress. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. With over 1,800 open air channels designed to neutralize body heat, Purple provides a cooling effect other mattresses can't replicate. And this cutting edge technology doesn't stop with the mattress. Every Purple pillow is engineered with the grid for total head and neck support and absolute airflow. So you're always on the cool side of the pillow. Purple's proprietary technology has been innovating comfort for over 15 years. Kinda Funny loves the Purple mattress. Joey Noel herself has been sleeping on a Purple mattress and says that she sleeps like a baby. You can try every Purple product risk-free and with free shipping and returns. And Purple has financing available as low as 0% APR for qualified customers. Experience the Purple grid and you'll sleep like never before. Go to purple.com/games10 and use the promo code games10 for a limited time. You'll receive 10% off any order of 200 $200 or more. That's purple.com/games10. Promo code GAMES10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Terms apply. The next sponsor is ExpressVPN. You know what's not fair? The fact that Netflix hides thousands of shows from you based on your location and then has the nerve to increase their prices on you. That's right! Starting at the end of this month, they're raising the prices once again. Now, you could just cancel your subscription in protest, or you could be smart about it and make sure you're getting your full money's worth by using ExpressVPN. See, you might not know what's on Netflix in your country is completely different from what's on someone in the UK or Japan has on theirs. Using ExpressVPN, I can control which country I want Netflix to think I'm in. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from, so every time you run out of stuff to watch, you can switch to another country to unlock new shows. Right now, you could be watching a whole bunch of different animes, but maybe it's not on US Netflix. But with one tap of the button, ExpressVPN lets you change your location to whatever country you want so you can watch whatever you want. And here's the best part. It's not just for Netflix. You can use ExpressVPN to unlock shows on other streaming services, too. Use it for the BBC iPlayer. It's free and totally available in the UK. ExpressVPN is also super fast and works with your phone, laptop, even smart TVs, so you can watch your shows on the big screen with zero buffering. Be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of the content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/games. Don't forget to use our link so you can get an extra 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/games. Expressvpn.com/games to learn more. And finally, it's Logitech. Logitech G Pro Cross Super Light Gaming Mouse is designed with the world's leading pros to engineer the world's best competitive gaming mouse with hyper minimal redesign. Pro X Super Light is our lightest and fastest pro mouse ever, weighing in at under 63 grams, almost 25% lighter than the standard pro wireless mouse. Logitech G exclusive Hero 25K sensor provides unrivaled precision, speed, and consistency. Pro X Super Light delivers extreme accuracy and ultra-fine control for complete confidence, especially during the intense split-second moments of tournament play. Ladies and gentlemen, I know a birthday boy named Andy Cortez is always clicking heads and ripping them to shreds over on twitch.tv/AndyCortez, and he's over there with the high-speed mouses clicking, and he's got powered by Lightspeed. Pro X Super Light is the fastest and most reliable pro mouse yet, and it's available in black and white. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners express shipping at logitechg.com. Use the promo code KINDAFUNNYDAILY free ship 215 for express shipping today. That's an express shipping. That's a long promo code. I apologize. Right? Am I wrong? Let's have some fun here. That's express shipping for all Logitech G products with the promo code KINDAFUNNYDAILYFREESHIP215. Hurry now, since after this promotion, the promo code expires in three days. And I'll tell you, Gary, what's right around the corner? Tax season. You need this Pro X Super Light to be... You gotta run your TurboTax. Like, did I buy a house? No. Did I buy a car? Maybe. Did I do this? Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Greg. I wouldn't do my taxes without the Logitech mouse.
How light is that? I heard it's under 63 grams.
WIDA approved.
Well, with the easy to remember promo code, kind of funny daily ship. Kind of funny daily free ship 215. There you go.
Do you know how many fucking APMs you can get in TurboTax with a Lightspeed mouse?
I don't know what an APM is, and I don't want to know. Let's get the taste of the PC out of our mouths, ladies and gentlemen. Talk about the new Xbox wireless headset. Kevin, can you play it real quick? I gave you a little video over there. They have a new wireless headset. It's $99. It seems like a really good idea. Headset. No dongle. Connects right to your thing, Gary. You know, it's got all this. I put in all the information here. Best in class audio, blah, blah, blah. So industry leading spatial sound technologies, including Windows Sonic, Dolby Atmos, and DTS headphone. It's precise, obviously, so you can hear people walking around you. Here you go. It provides clear and intelligent chat audio quality. The new headset has dual beam forming microphone elements that focus on speech audio versus surrounding sound. Additionally, voice isolation tuning helps the mic pick up your voice rather than the background noise. When you aren't talking, the auto mute feature automatically mutes your microphone. This can be toggled on or off, so you can keep your comms channel clear. There is a mute button. 15 hours of battery life. And then what I thought was really, really cool, again, no dongle, which I use an Astro headset that has a dongle on my Xbox. But beyond that, you can go in there and you can pair it to your phone at the same time. So you could be listening to the game you're playing and then also taking a phone call, which it was, I thought was pretty
That's
fucking
really
dope.
Cool.
Let me tell you something. Xbox has always made good headsets. I'm going to get this one. I'm looking forward to it.
Gary, I'm looking forward to it as well, but it's still so far away. Actually, I think it's out right now, right? $100. You can pre-order right now. It's not out.
You can pre-order. It's out.
Yeah, pre-order. So I want to get the headset, but it's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go, Gary Whitta?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. I don't know why I misremembered it in the middle of that there.
Yeah, it's Friday. Don't worry about it. You're fine. Real quick, too. I should
Tuesday.
Wait, I guess.
Heads up.
Fuck, really? yeah, you can pre-order the headset now, and then it starts shipping on March 16th.
I tell you, it looks better than that fucking Pulse Sony headset they put out that looks really shitty. Everyone that I know that's got one of those said it's shitty.
Oh, I love
it. Says it's shitty or looks shitty?
Just is shitty.
No,
I
use mine all the time. It's comfortable.
Audio thing is game-changing. Yeah. I was playing the other day with Joey. I had died in Fortnite, and she was walking around, and I could hear where people were in her game before she could react to it. You know, I would be like, oh, shit, you're left behind you. It was cool.
No, I like my headset. Yeah, Kevin, how do I sound? Were you using it last night?
Yeah, I always use it.
Then don't even worry about it. Because, yeah, when I done my first test with it when we were doing review stuff, I played I Forget With Who, and they were like, you don't sound great.
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to the wrong outlets, but I was looking into getting one, and I watched a bunch of YouTube reviews from people that review headphones, and by the time I was done...
Stop. You're talking about serious people. This is me and Kevin.
Not like audiophiles, like gaming people that have, like, that game on headsets that were like, let's compare this to the Astros or... you know, the Razors and the other headsets that are out there. And they all said that it wasn't that good. So I decided not to bother with it.
I wouldn't have changed from the A50s that I really liked, but like they were just as comfortable and the audio is really good. And I felt like the spatial audio stuff was a game changer. Like it changed my gaming experience.
For me, it was just the fact that I'd been using Astro A40s forever that were the wired ones that I plugged into the controller. So like this shipped and I was like, wireless, great. And then I got
the Astro is great. These are the A50s that I'm using right now.
Yeah,
really
I have
good.
A50s now, but I have those on my Xbox and then I have these on my PlayStation. And I'm not an audiophile by any stretch of measure.
Anytime you say like no dongles, no
future
cable, that's good. That's what you want.
Yeah, I was going to say the one thing is the dongle taking up one of the USB slots is annoying. That's all.
On the PlayStation?
Mm-hmm. That too.
Yes.
Did you just plug it back?
Oh, the Pulse has a dongle?
Yeah, it's still a dongle.
Oh, point Microsoft.
It's true, Gary. You nailed it. And these look big and comfy. Like, I'd like to try these out.
Yeah, they do. Anyways. Like I said, I think about the 360 ones here or whatever they put out last generation. They're good. Really comfortable.
Out today. Predator Hunting Grounds has an update. You get a Valkyrie Predator skin if you want to pay for it. Then they also have custom games for free. I'm sure you'll be seeing us play that at some point. You can go and set all sorts of stuff. You can make the floor lava. You can do a whole bunch of different stuff. That's fun. Hellish Court is on PC. Bravery Network Online is on PC and Mac. Drive is on Switch. Fallen Legion Revenants is on PS4 and Switch. Azur Lane Crosswave is on Switch. Speed Limit is on PlayStation 4. Brutal Rage is on Switch. Gem Wizards Tactics is out now on Steam. Red Dead Online has a new edition, a new source of employment, new missions for players to embark upon, delivered via telegram to local post offices or your camp lockbox. The first three of these telegram missions are designed for solo players only. Then GameSpot reports Pokemon Unite will arrive on the Nintendo Switch and mobile devices later this year, and if you happen to live in Canada, you'll be one of the first people to try it out. The beta test for Pokemon Unite will open in March on Android devices in Canada, although the exact start and end times have not yet been revealed. If you're interested, you can sign up now for a beta through the Google Play Store. New dates for you. You got Room to Grow, PC and Mac, the 25th of February. Kevin, I put a trailer in there for you because this is your shit. This
yeah,
is a Kevin.
Really
this
fun.
Is,
I can, I
look
get
at this GoPro.
This
reminds you of Snake you Pass, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very interesting game with a mechanic that I've never even seen before anywhere. This is wild.
Jupiter Grad is landing on PlayStation VR February 25th. Blaze Ball Season 12 starts on March 1st. Amazon's MMO has been delayed. With that in mind, then there was a quote from the blog post about it. With that in mind, we will release New World on August 31st, 2021. And then, as I said earlier, for Avengers, Hawkeye, and the PS5/Series X/S versions come out March 18th. Deals of the day for you. I have Xbox Game Pass updates. February 18th, we'll see Code Vein on PC, Pillars of Eternity Deadfire Ultimate Edition on cloud and console. Then February 23rd, we'll see Killer Queen Black on cloud and console. Then February 25th, we'll see Dirt 5, cloud, console, and PC, Elite Dangerous console, Super Hot Mind Control Delete on PC. Gary, we ask people watching to go to Twitch. No, that's not right. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We want them to be part of the show and give us their squad up requests. Of course, you can ask us questions or ask for help in video games. Today, Clint needs help on PlayStation. Clint's name is Clint underscore underscore G. That is Clint, two underscores, the letter G. Clint says, I'm normally not a big trophy guy, but I decided to go for the platinum in PGA 2K21. I only have a few trophies left to wrap up, one of which is invite only, finish a round of a private in a private match. I have no friends that play this game, so it'd be awesome if a best friend could help me out. If you play PGA 2K21 on PlayStation, hit up Clint so he can get that trophy. That's Clint underscore underscore G. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe.
We might have screwed a few things up this week. I don't know why. I just get that feeling.
No, it's a lot of editorializing as always.
Always, right?
Yeah. No, that's all just editorial and little facts we didn't need. We nailed it, Gary. We're perfect. That's a perfect
game.
Even
when
right
I think
there.
I got something wrong, I'm always right. Amazing.
You're never wrong, Gary. You know how it is. You know how it is. Let's run through the rest of the hosts for this week before we get you out of here. Wednesday is going to be Blessing and Andy Cortez. Thursday is going to be me and Tim Geddes. Friday is going to be me and the Kind of Funny Spotlight on Julia Hardy. Of course, the show isn't over. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where we're about to do the post show exclusive for our Patreons. If you stick around here, Andy Cortez and Nick Scarpino are about to get into some stuff on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you miss it live, you can go to our YouTube channel, our newest one, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Like, follow, subscribe over there, please. And until next time, know it's been a pleasure to serve you.